say, nigga, nigga, how you make me feel when you come to my...
This was my favorite song.
I can't keep my cool, nigga, nigga. I can't hold it inside.
That's it.
I can't wait each day just to see you walk. Trying to move in close to get to where you are.
Oh my God, this is bringing up so much for me.
I'm not trying to be rude, nigga, nigga.
Can't with you.
Adventure, nothing, so I'm telling you. Nigga, 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 nigga.
Why are you like this?
Don't you know that you're so fine? Nigga. Nigga, nigga, nigga. Was it Kia that said if you change baby to nigga in any song, it makes it like 20 times better?
It was her, and she was right.
It's correct. It's not a false statement.
Man, I wanted that whole white outfit she had on that video.
Man,
I used to stand for Brandy. It didn't make no sense.
Everybody wanted Brandy to be their sister.
I think I just wanted to be her. Her life just looked a lot better.
Well, that's fair too.
I wanted her life.
Welcome back, everyone, to the show. I am Cheryl Lee Ralph.
And I am NJ Rodriguez.
Welcome back to the read.
Mm-hmm.
Another episode here in January. Not dead yet.
No, but the global warming is going to get us soon because, bitch, it was 68 degrees yesterday.
Oh, was it?
I didn't leave the house. 68 degrees. When I tell you niggas was frolicking outdoors, it didn't make no sense. Middle of January, we're all finna fry.
First of all, thank you to everybody last week who pointed out that they had created a remake of Figure It Out.
Oh, they did?
I guess in the early 2010s or something. Matter of fact, let me...
Oh, I didn't even know that.
But I did know and I forgot. Someone posted a picture of it and sent it to me. And I was like, oh, they did in fact do this. In fact, Googling Figure It Out over here to the side, I think this has to be the remake because I don't know who the fuck this white man is.
Uh-oh.
But their revival started in 2012 and looks like it ended a year later.
Oh, so, yikes. So not that successful.
So there's that. You know, I tried.
Yep, you did. It was still a good idea to me.
This week in Black Excellence... it's going out to Chef Mariah Russell. She's head chef of Chicago's restaurant Kiko and Kamiko. And she's the first Black woman to earn a Michelin star.
What?
In all 94 of
Are you
the guys
fucking kidding
years
me?
Of existence. So Kiko and Kamiko, I hope I'm saying this correctly, is like a Japanese-inspired restaurant in Chicago. And she's head chef of this like omakase format. I'm probably also butchering that pronunciation. But
right.
I had to Google it because I don't know much about fancy food. You know what I'm saying? I ate 5 Popeye's chicken sandwiches last year after I cussed y'all about it. And that was like high cuisine to
cussed.
Me. So... I had to Google this, and apparently it's like omakase might be, I think it is Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the translation is something along the lines of leaving it up to you or something. Basically, the chef chooses what you're going to taste, what you're going to eat. It's all left up to them.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've
there's
heard of
like,
it.
I think there's more interaction also with the chef themselves and stuff like that. So,
right.
Mama pulled in a Michelin star for this restaurant, first Black woman to do it. Congratulations to her. And also, apparently, they are up to their eyelashes in customers.
I bet.
Probably because of this and, you know, anybody else who's spread good word of mouth. And Mariah says, I didn't get here because I'm a Black woman. I got here because I work really hard. I'm passionate and I'm good at it. I never got into this for stars. I just want to make really delicious food for humans to eat. The feeling you have when people make you good food and you're with people you love to be around is like nothing else. You just want to make people feel like they're at home or something like it. So you can go and check out the restaurant and try food. Oh, I guess you have to make reservations.
Oh, you definitely do. So, yeah. You definitely do, especially with a Michelin star. I mean, that just goes to show you, like, The first black woman, when black women are the best cooks in the world.
94 years the Michelin Guide has existed. 94.
So it's like, hearing that honestly just made me respect the Michelin star a lot less. Like, I mean, oh girl, so this is not like, I mean, obviously I'm proud of this woman, but like, had I known that before now, I would have never been like, ooh, a 3-star Michelin restaurant, you know? Because what does that really mean?
I mean, I think that like... the industry, the food industry, a restaurant, whatever, is far different than just like good food that you know from wherever, you know, because.
Yeah, gotta be. I mean, I'm not part of that world, but it's gotta be.
I can't think of the last time that I went to a restaurant that required anybody to take a reservation. I've done it before. Sometimes enjoy the food, sometimes don't. I don't like to go through all of that hoopla for the most part. So usually that shit happens on like special occasions, birthdays, celebrations and things of that nature.
Right.
But like that kind of environment is a taste different than who we may know to like, of course, black women cook, black women throw down and have since the beginning of,
in,
of the horizon.
In every country. So like, their cuisine is good everywhere you go.
There's no dispute there. So yeah, it's kind of like, what's that about? But
yeah, let me not take nothing away from this woman because she... you know, it is incredibly well-deserved, I'm sure. And let me see, probably a 9-month wait list at this point to even get reservations.
Right, I mean, girl.
To this place. So, yeah, congrats, sis.
Maybe you can go over to Kiko and Kamiko and drop a fresh 50.
Perhaps. And they look at me like...
You'll see this, won't you?
And what is this?
Like in the old sitcoms where somebody with like George Jefferson or somebody trying to do that shit, they put them by the kitchen.
That's right. Oh, man.
Also, on Because of Them We Can, I saw another story that just blew my mind. This woman named Alexandria Wollaston, sorry if I said that wrong, sis. She's a Florida mom. This girl had 2 sets of twins last year.
What? What? 2 sets of twins?
Last year.
So she had 1 pregnancy with twins and then another pregnancy
right
with
afterwards.
Twins. Wow.
So
they didn't take no break. I know her doctor was like, girl.
Like
2 sets of twins back to back.
So she had her first set of twins last March, Mark and Malachi.
What?
And then in December, she had Kaylin and Caleb. And already had a daughter who's 3 years old now, I believe.
Oh,
so mama went from being the mother of 1 child to a mother of 5
in
less than a year.
I'm stunned.
I'm like, girl, can I send you some Pampers? Is there anything I can do?
Right.
Because like,
I know y'all need 24/7 help. I'm sorry. 4 fucking
newborns. She's excited.
Newborns.
She's excited. Mama is like,
I'm
she
sure
said
she
that
is.
She feels like she hit the twin lottery.
She did.
And it says here the doctors told her, her doctors informed her that she would have a better chance of hitting the actual lottery than doing what she actually did.
Wow.
Shout out to you.
I've never heard of that in my life, especially back to back like that. Wow.
What's
I don't know. Her ovaries took Be Fruitful and Multiply,
right?
Too.
Her ovaries being there having a great time.
Okay.
Doing an electric slide.
They doing shit my ovaries can't even dream of. Okay?
Dancing to Frankie Beverly. Her ovaries are good and healthy and having a time.
Yeah, let me find out where I can donate something to them because I know y'all
like,
need a night nurse,
need,
something. A toddler and 4 newborns.
4 fresh babies? My God.
So you just literally don't sleep. Oh,
God bless you, sis.
Right.
She's
God
so, like,
bless
this,
her.
And they're so cute, of course. But I'm just thinking, like, that is good. First of all, they're probably going to look like quadruplets.
Right. I was just about to say, like,
because they're only a few months, 9 months or so.
Right. I mean, a lot of siblings just look alike anyway.
Exactly.
So that would be, ugh, what a blessing.
And she also said she felt like her grandmother's passed their twins on because I couldn't really tell because it seems like this is there's a typo here. But it says that like maybe the grandmothers were sets of twins or they had 2 sets of twins and the twins passed away. I think that's what it was. The grandmothers had twins and they passed away. She said I feel like they sent them down for me. So
that is a beautiful thought.
4 baby boys and a 3-year-old girl.
Oh my
God, bless you.
All 4 boys.
All 4 of them are boys.
And a 3-year-old girl, she's about to punk them so bad.
Look.
That's her army. You just gave her an army.
Okay. I love it.
I do.
Congratulations,
too. Yes,
sis.
Yes. I hope you have a lot of help because shit.
I mean, That's just
so many newborns.
Not fathom.
That's so many infants, dog. No, ma'am.
So moving along into our pop culture segment, Hot Tops, driving Miss Daisy Chain. We're gonna start with the Duke and the Duchess of Sussex. Apparently pissed off some Brits because they've decided to relinquish their roles as senior members of the royal family. They plan to be financially independent and move, or work to be financially independent. And they're also apparently moving to Canada. First, there was reports that they were going to move here.
Why?
And I thought to myself that very same
question.
Why
would Meghan do that?
What would you... What's,
Canada is the only logical choice.
And then today I saw Canada and I was like, oh yeah, girl, that makes plenty
a
sense.
Lot more sense. And Meghan got the fuck that same night, okay? She got on the first jet out of that bitch.
The family heard, I heard they found out the same way that we did. Yep. The girls didn't give them a heads
That's
up.
That's right.
We out. Like, we're done.
They
Meghan
posted
said
that shit and that was that.
If you think you hate me now. Wait until I'm out, bitch.
And they really did always want her out. So it's just crazy to see how mad they are.
Mama
this.
Was like, yeah, okay, cool. So I'm going to pack up my stuff. Yeah. He going to pack up his stuff. The baby. And we're out. Good luck. God bless. Have all of you. And I looked at Independent has an article on their website that's just Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, a timeline of their royal journey. And it's literally starting from July 2016 up until now. And I really paid very little attention to their relationship. Like I told you, I didn't even realize that Meghan Markle was mixed until like the day of their wedding or something.
Right.
So I didn't even understand why it was such a big deal internationally and so on. But even afterwards, I'm like, okay, if y'all happy, great. They look cute together. Reading this, though, really put into perspective why they would want to be like, deuces, fuck y'all, we out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this racist, passive, unnecessary, provoking and bullshit from the media, just from regular citizens out there and whatever. It's like, of course. And then thinking about Harry's relationship with royalty and the passing of his mother and propaganda and all of that stuff and how it's affected him since he was a literal child. That also doesn't surprise me that he's like, you know what? Fuck, I'm out.
Yep.
I don't want to do this no more.
Like, I actually watched y'all do this to my mama, and I'm not sticking around so you can do it to my wife.
So,
sorry.
Goodbye.
Y'all hate her so damn much. Guess what, girl? Won't have to be here no more. We do not have to be over here no more.
I heard that people were pissed off that they didn't announce who the godparent was of the baby.
They pissed off about everything. I've paid attention only because, you know, Black Princess. So I have paid attention, and they have been downright vicious to Meghan. Like, since she was first rumored to be dating him, it has been bad from like every gossip magazine, and it got so much worse after she got married and had the baby.
Remember when the Queen's like cousin-in-law or whatever came to the wedding or something with that nigger
with
brooch
that
on?
Nigger brooch? Yes, I do remember that. And like I wore this to come greet your nigger bride. Like, fuck is this? And she was like allowed in. This is crazy. I saw an interview that she did where somebody asked her about, you know, the tabloids and everybody talking about her. And she like broke down.
Yeah.
And she said that she expected people to talk about her, but she also expected them to be fair.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sis.
I don't know why, girl.
I don't know. You know, she's such a sweet person. Like, maybe she's just never really been online or something like that. But like, girl, I don't know. I'm so glad that Meghan and Harry came to the decision that they were going to take care of themselves and their family, and you can fuck right on off with all this royal family bullshit.
I mean, period.
You can fuck right on off with that.
Well, Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth released a statement and says, today my family had very constructive discussions on the future of my grandson and his family. My family and I are entirely supportive of Harry and Meghan's desire to create a new life as a young family. Although we would have preferred them to remain full-time working members of the royal family, we respect and understand their wish to live a more independent life as a family while remaining a valued part of my family. Harry and Meghan have made clear that they do not want to be reliant on public funds in their new lives. Niggas were mad at them for taking a private jet to somewhere.
Be serious. Be serious. Meghan Markle can't just board Spirit and land in America like the rest of us.
And
please
be
serious.
She did. God, you'd flame her for
right.
that.
Right. Y'all would be live streaming like, what the fuck is your black? I thought you was a royal bitch.
It is there for. Did you see them? Did you see Young Jock on the internet for driving?
I started watching that and then I got so embarrassed I had to turn it off. I was like, oh, is he really driving Uber? Is he really doing that?
I'd rather he did that than continue working for VH1.
Well, that is true. Is he still on that show?
I don't know.
I don't even know if that show is still on.
I really can't.
Well,
tell
you know what? Whatever legal thing you got to do to make a buck, that's what you do.
It has therefore been agreed that there will be a period of transition in which the Sussexes will spend time in Canada and the UK. These are complex matters for my family to resolve, and there's some work to be done. But I've asked for final decisions to be reached in the coming days. So basically, what this says to me is like, cool, I'm too old to give a fuck about this shit, mm-hmm. period. But at the end of the day, if them niggas think they're just gonna hit it and, you know,
right.
and that's that, they no. confused. You will come back, you know, and you will have, at the very least, a happy Christmas dinner with the bitch. I don't know.
Like, I mean, maybe. I think it will entirely depend on what Meghan want
to
do.
It sounds like they are trying, or they've tried to maybe convince him of otherwise. And I also read that they had been considering this
for a while. Yeah.
And I can understand.
Because it was bad.
So,
yeah.
God bless both of them, you know?
Yep.
I get it.
Good luck. And to little Archie, too.
Oh, what an adorable little
Meghan
thing.
Meghan really did that because she knew we would spot the niggerness in that name. I remain committed to that theory. I believe she did that on purpose.
There are a lot of niggas named Archie.
Yeah, there are. And yeah. I think they gave her a list of like approved names. And she saw that and she was like, I'm going to send a message to the blacks right quick. I think she did.
She found the one that touched the black in her the most.
Right. I heard that she's going to do some voiceover work for Disney, but she donated her whole check.
I heard that too. I'm not sure for what, but...
She's just a sweet person, man.
I mean,
she
don't
deserve that bullshit.
What she could possibly be voicing, but yeah, I mean, that she was an actor first. So.
Yeah.
Good for her. Happiness and health and, you know, baby love and all that
good
stuff.
Good vibes away from the queen.
Cardi B has announced that she's considering going back to school and possibly joining Congress.
Yes. Well, you don't have to go. You don't have to go to school to be part of Congress, girl.
No, you damn sure do not.
All you need is a majority vote. But, you know, educating yourself is always a good idea. So good for her.
Culture's mom said on Twitter, I think I want to be a politician. I really love government, even though I don't agree with government.
That's
like,
real.
I was watching war documentaries. No matter how many weapons a country have, you need people. How are you trying to go against a country and possibly start a war when this country lacks patriotism? I barely see people claiming they love being American. I will have to explain a lot. So I will have to do a video or a live talking about it. So I'm going to come back to my last two tweets another day. I'm going to talk about it another day.
Yes.
I do feel like if I go back to school and focus up, I can be part of Congress. I dead ass have so much ideas that make sense.
Yes.
I just need a couple of years of school and I can shake the table.
I believe that 100% and you should do it, girl. Go for it.
She got an endorsement from people for Bernie's Twitter page.
See, well, you know, that was smart of Bernie's people, but yeah, this is great.
I'm all for this girl going back to school and doing whatever the fuck it is that she wants to do. I'm also incredibly amused by the vision of Cardi B in a pressed suit.
Yeah.
Being, you know, sitting around the
looks. One of her court turns
and just banging on a table in front of the rest of Congress and the Senate and the president. What was the reason? I just love the idea of that.
I would have paid cash money to watch Cardi B during the impeachment hearing.
Woo!
I would have paid real dollars to just be in the room.
Going up. Reclaiming oak. Reclaiming oak. Reclaiming oak.
But Cardi, like, she is real. She has a way of speaking to people, reaching people who politicians largely ignore, who pretend are too stupid to get it, or you just ignore their issues altogether. Like, even if she doesn't run for office and she just decides to go back to school to learn more about this shit, like, I can't be mad at that at all. Good for you, sis.
Sis, if the host of Apprentice could be a fucking president,
look,
then I'm not counting you out of a motherfucking thing. Reach for the stars, the hearts and horseshoes and clovers and blue moons, bitch. Right. Do whatever the fuck it is that you need to do.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason that dumb bitch went to college is because his daddy was rich enough to pay his way through. There is a reason.
He clearly didn't learn
He
shit.
Will not let them transcripts leak.
He also can't spell, so it's like...
I do believe Donald Trump is functionally illiterate.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I truly believe that he does not read and write on a 12th grade level.
I think that he's a dummy by science.
Well, there is. That is what...
I think he's, like, literally stupid.
I mean, yeah, he's just... Please, please, please. This is enough.
This is, I don't even know why I chose this. Maybe to fluff out the topics. I don't.
Okay.
So Lori Harvey and Future are apparently in a relationship and sharing how excited they are with Instagram and the like.
Oh God.
they posted photos together, including one of Future. And, well, one that Future posted of them together in a pool. I guess they're in Jamaica for Lori's 23rd birthday.
Gross. So she just turned 23. And Future is on the other side of 35, is he not?
How do you pronounce Future's middle name?
I know it's
not Demon. Demon?
Okay, now I have to Google what his name is.
Nevadius?
Yeah.
Demon Wilburn.
Demon?
Demon.
Oh, Demon.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably Demon.
It's
no,
Demon.
It's not Demon. Yeah, it's Demon.
Of course. Like, when you say it, yeah. I hear the nigga.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what it is. Demon.
And he is 36 goddamn years old. All right. All right.
You're doing better than R. Kelly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, listen. Oh, shit.
We'll get to that.
Right.
So, yeah, they have posted like little clips together with a caption, "Life is good," and damn near all of them, which is the name of Future's new song with Drake. Lori Harvey's mama also posted a happy birthday thing to him with the caption, "Life is good." So I suppose she approves.
Okay.
No word on what Mr. Hightower thinks yet, but I'm assuming he's minding his business and worrying about his own thing. Mark Curry just called him out for stealing his jokes. Did you see that?
Mark Curry?
Yeah.
How random.
Yeah.
Wow.
He said that Steve Harvey was stealing his jokes on his show.
Was that hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, I used to love that show.
It was great. But in fairness, he did post a clip, like a back-to-back clip of them saying the same joke. But I also can't say that he stole it because, I mean, there's only so many jokes. Anyways, but...
I actually just saw that Steve Harvey, I hate Google, has responded and said, "I don't know nothing about it."
Sounds about right.
I mean, look, I'm all for Lori Harvey having fun. Just don't get pregnant.
That's what I was saying. Jesus, please be
not
birth
by
control.
This one. Not by this
Lord,
one.
Lord, be a plan B, C, D, N, A.
And you do not want to join that group chat.
Yeah, I think that, oh, yeah. I mean, Lori Harvey was dating Puffy last year or was rumored to date Puffy.
Yeah, I really hope that was fake.
And then also, allegedly also dated his son.
Yeah, like before.
God bless everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm going to let that young girl have her fun. I don't know what grown ass Puffy would be doing with her. But again, like I said, I hope that's fake.
As we spoke about last week, Rihanna's album is, you know, still probably resting underneath her pillow somewhere.
This is my favorite thing.
It's just so, it's the gift that keeps giving without giving us any goddamn
right.
thing.
Right.
So, reggae artist Shaggy came out recently. Apparently, he did an interview with Daily Star and said that he was approached by Rihanna's team to be a part of this new album that has been rumored to be reggae-infused for a while.
Okay.
But he decided not to be involved because they wanted him to audition. He said, "I'll leave that I'll leave that to the younger guys." but from what I hear, it should be good, is what he added there to the end of it.
Okay.
This is hilarious to me. I think that
that is hilarious.
I'm curious as to what an audition for an album sounds like. Like, how do you audition for an album?
Well, I mean, I guess they have a few different people come in and like hear a beat, and I don't know, is he talking about writing for it or producing? Like,
I don't know.
I guess you come in and you have a certain amount of time to put something together, and then they see how they like it or how you vibe or whatever.
I'm assuming he was considered to be a feature. And my best guess for an audition for something like this would look like is if he recorded a demo and then they just decide there if they want to use him on something or not. But
I guess
don't see how that's different. I mean, people do that all the time. Right, I don't really hear
That doesn't seem to be so different from how the process works for everybody else anyway.
So I don't really understand. But maybe they flat out was like, look, ain't no promising that you're going to be on this.
Yeah.
You know, there probably loads of artists that quote unquote auditioned for.
Right.
But I also think it makes perfect sense for this nigga to be like, oh, I want to bomb more stuff. Because this nigga has been making music since she was like 5.
Right. So he's like a little offended here. Like, girl.
I think he's also touring. Didn't he do that Little Mermaid thing I didn't watch?
I don't know. Did he?
Wasn't he Sebastian?
Oh, I think so. I did not watch it.
Did that happen?
I think it did.
Shaggy's working.
Okay. Yes. Yes. That is the point here.
And has been like an icon in reggae music for literal decades. Right. So I don't think it's surprising that it's no sweat for this nigga to be like, nah, I'm good. But I think it's hilarious that he was like,
right.
Do you know what these niggas asked me to do? I said,
like,
oh,
I heard
nah,
it's still good, but like, they tried my fucking life.
Oh, nah, nah.
I hate you.
What's my name? Sorry.
Oh my God. You're black ass.
And one of the saddest mug shots I've ever seen, Trick Daddy has been arrested. This is actually a really fucked up story. Mm-hmm. He was arrested in Miami for DUI and cocaine possession. Apparently, he was pulled over after allegedly hitting signs and running red lights in a Range Rover. Cops stopped him, could smell alcohol in his breath. They say he had slurred speech, bloodshot, watery, glassy eyes. And they spelled alcohol in his breath. Failed a field sobriety test. And then apparently, when he was putting some of his possessions, like, in a bag, I don't know if this is, like, when he was actually at the station. Oh, yes, it was.
Okay.
He's putting his stuff in a bag, and they found cocaine inside of a dollar bill. So I guess that's how the cocaine possession charge even came into it.
Yikes.
Like, you already going in for DUI, and then just because you forgot there was
that
a little bit of
too much.
A little bit of Miley inside one of your George Washingtons, now you got to go down for that, too?
That whole story, I saw that and I saw the mugshot and I was like, damn, Trick is like, I know he's always talked about how he self-medicates, and it's like, you are really fully leaning into that now.
He looks like the most pissed off raisin in existence.
God bless him. Like, I feel for him because I know it's lupus that he has, right? Yeah. I know it must be hard. So yeah. Like, I'm trying not to judge, but like, when you put in a whole bunch of other people, like unknown people at risk, driving drunk and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, man. Something has to give. Yeah. Damn.
Good luck.
Does he have any clothes? Has he pissed everybody off? Or does he? I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm sure he has lots of people around him that.
Yeah. I hope some people reach out. Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I'll, at the same time, Trick Daddy has always seemed like a nigga that's going to do whatever the fuck he wants to.
That's true, too. I mean,
the nigga has. It's not a secret that he does cocaine either. Mm-hmm. He has openly talked about doing coke,
right,
not taking medicine for lupus, and just feeling like,
yep,
cocaine makes him feel better anyway and whatever the fuck. So I don't feel like there's. Even if there are people around him who are like, you know, I want you to feel good. I want you to be healthy, et cetera, make good choices. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing is just like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to do.
Right.
So.
Like, okay.
You can only help someone if they want help.
Exactly. You can only help somebody if they want to be helped. And if he is fine with the way he's coping with his lupus, it is not a damn thing anybody can do to change that.
But like, why? What? His hairline.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what happened there. Is he cutting his hair himself, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
God. Oh, man. My city, my people, my people, my city. So, I didn't watch Surviving R. Kelly Part 2, The Reckoning,
yeah.
the Shadows, The Return, Part right. 2, the Becoming, whatever the fuck that horror movie is.
I started it, but I haven't finished it.
You know, I feel like I don't need any more. Personally, I get it. I mean, I feel like I'm in agreement.
Yeah, you can't get much more anti R. Kelly than I already am.
Yeah, I don't think I needed the squeakle. But apparently, his girlfriends, one Joycelyn Savage, who was part of the
right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if she was in the first documentary or she was just mentioned in it. But, like, has definitely been a part of this story as far as the Surviving R. Kelly thing has been going on. This other girl, Azriel Clary,
yeah.
Don't know much about this child. She's 21. Joycelyn is apparently 23, unless they have had a birthday recently. But they both did interviews with Gayle King, calling their parents liars. Azriel claimed, isn't that the name of the cat in the Smurfs?
I have no idea.
What? The Smurfs cat. Azriel. I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay.
Azriel. Oh, I used to get his name confused with the nigga that looked like, kind of looked like Bernie Sanders. What was the guy's name that hated the Smurfs and always wanted to eat them?
I very rarely watched the Smurfs.
Gargamel.
On some channel we didn't have.
Gargamel. So. You didn't have, well, I don't know what, I can't even think of what Smurfs
got. I don't
on.
Even know Cartoon what channel Network? It was, but whatever it was, I almost never saw them niggas on TV.
I never Same really with cared Fraggle for Rock. It. Oh, Fraggle Rock is an
I very rarely caught them niggas.
That I was more into Snorks than Smurfs. I feel like they were made by the same people.
Never even
but
heard of that.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Okay. So they were basically on TV with Gayle being interviewed, very clearly lying, very passionately lying. I'm not sure if Azriel wants to act. If so, girl, you got a leg up. You do great at it. Because I didn't believe a goddamn thing that you were saying, but I really committed. I mean, I really acknowledged your commitment to the lie. She had claimed that her parents even suggested that she do like sexy videos with R. Kelly so they could blackmail him at some point. All just terrible right. ideas, clearly from the mouth of Robert Kelly.
Right.
Anyway, more recent than that, Joycelyn apparently went to R. Kelly's home in Trump Tower there in Chicago.
Right.
And was there to pick up some of his shit, I guess, including some awards and things of that nature. For some reason, she and Azriel start arguing, and it is given to Instagram Live to be a part of.
Oh, Lord.
During the Instagram Live, Azriel accuses Joycelyn of sleeping with her while she was a minor, along with the Robert. That really pissed off young Joy, and they got to fighting right there in the doorway, hallways, and beyond of Trump Tower in Chicago.
Okay.
Joycelyn definitely got her ass beat from the footage that I saw. Azriel was hollering how she knows how to fight because she's from Baltimore.
Oh, God, please.
And is allegedly now trying to reconnect with the family she lied on. And rumor has it that she's going to be, I guess, turning on R. Kelly. I mean, there's no turning back at this point, but.
Right.
All of this is a hot mess. I feel bad for the parents mm-hmm. of these girls, and I hope that, you know, they can find a stairway to glory. That sounds like I want them to die.
That was a little bit more
a stairway to peace.
Yes. Amen.
At some point past this, because like their behavior is not great and all of that. We can judge them all they want to, but I'm mostly disgusted with this 52 year old man?
Yeah, I think so.
That has used his resources and access to manipulate people, not just these young girls that he, you know, tries to turn into sexual possessions, mm-hmm. but even people around him to either believe he's not doing anything wrong or aid him in covering things up or whatever the fuck, like, you know, yeah. All y'all did in this clip of, you know, beating the shit out of each other is just prove that what you were initially trying to say to us was bullshit, which we knew.
Oh, good God. This is just so much. I'm trying to think of which girl it was, because I did start the part two of Surviving R. Kelly. And one of the girls has been reunited with her parents.
I guess it's not that one.
Damn. I think they have been reunited, but they're talking about like how she was raised super like conservative and she had to sneak out with somebody else to go to this R. Kelly concert. And that's how she got wrapped up in everything. And then her nudes, they posted her nudes online and everything because she left and they wasn't letting all this go. And I was just like, my God in heaven.
Like I said, I don't really know the detail. I don't think that that's this girl. Because she said during this whole scuffle or afterwards that Rob's been lying to everybody. That's why we didn't watch the documentary. And, you know, he's been having people like me lie for him and blah, 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 blah. So I don't really know. And I had seen like little headlines like the end of last year up until recently with her name in it, with R. Kelly, the other girl's name and stuff like that. And I really just skimmed past most of them because like I said, at this point, I don't feel like there's more that you can say to me that's going to make me feel any different.
Right, exactly. I feel for these girls, man. They all are going to need some intense therapy.
For sure.
To deal with what happened and then being in so much in the public eye. Like, it cannot be easy. Jesus.
And it's like, you're children.
And that's why R. Kelly can stay where the fuck he's at. I do not have no sympathy. I'm sorry. I know he went through a lot of shit as a child. I know he was abused over and over, but you cannot just continue to hurt other people nonstop just for all eternity. No, fuck no.
I mean, you know, good luck to everyone involved except Robert. And I really hope that these young ladies or anybody else that is struggling with whatever as a result of his behavior or someone like him, I just hope that everybody can be better because these niggas ain't shit anyway. So.
Right. Because I'm thinking about what I would or would not do, but I cannot picture myself realistically being in any of their shoes.
At all. So. Like, I don't even know what I could do except pray for y'all.
Right. Amen. God bless.
That's about it for my hot tops this week. We're going to take a break and then we'll come back with your letters. This week, we are back with Bevel, a head-to-toe personal care brand built for Black men. This year, Bevel is introducing a new lineup of products built for your skin and your hair. We'd like to introduce you to the Bevel deodorant, an aluminum-free deodorant that goes on clear with no lines, streaks, or clumps, and stays strong to fight against odors for up to 48 hours. Get in, some of y'all need. And the Bevel bar soap, a sulfate-free exfoliating bar soap that is dermatologist-tested and infused with shea and cocoa butters. Two of my faves. Lastly, there's Bevel body wash made with freshest ingredients like argan oil, charcoal, and I've never known how to say this. Jojoba esters?
Jojoba?
I knew it.
Jojoba.
To exfoliate, nourish, and renew sensitive skin.
It's true. Jojoba is great for that too. I'm just so sorry.
If you've been on the lookout for hair and body products that are designed for you, it's time to get with Bevel now.
That's right. I am so excited. As soon as I got it, I tore open the deodorant because I'm all about going aluminum free with deodorant. Yeah. I'm freaked out and all this. Yeah, so, you know, I've been using it for the past couple of days. And, you know, even in that magical 68 degrees, it held up pretty good. I was like, okay, Bevel, I see you. So I'm excited to get into the bar soap and the body wash just because, you know, already. Loving deodorant so much. Bevel Skin is everything you need and nothing you don't. So stop what you're doing and check out the new line today at getbevel.com/thereread. That's getbevel.com/thereAD. And don't forget to check out Bevel's sister brand Form Beauty, available at Sephora.com and formbeauty.com. I remain a stan of that spray leave-in conditioner. It is just like she's top two and she's not number two. It's just a phenomenal product. And just, man, we've been working with Bevel for so long. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah.
Go check them out. Getbevel.com/thereread. Let's get back to the show.
We are back. It's time for your listener letters.
It is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We may read them aloud on the show. We have a couple of updates. First, from Karen, who was feeling frustrated because her husband won't give her a threesome. Remember her?
Yes.
Okay. So she said, before you read my letter on the show, I already had the overwhelming urge to just leave the situation. I was trying to force a relationship that was never going to be the same for more reasons than just me loving pussy. After hearing y'all read my letter and then you subsequently honing in on all my marital woes, I knew I made the right decision. I want my daughter to see her parents in a loving and happy environment, not a resentful or uncomfortable one. My husband did say he would give me a threesome, but made it very clear he wouldn't enjoy it. Like y'all said, I don't know what heterosexual male wouldn't at least be down to try it or watch, but...
I mean,
somebody. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, not every straight man is into that.
So, I mean, yeah, girl, good luck to you and your separation. And you write about your child being better off in a healthy environment with both parents, you know, in two different homes than y'all together and miserable.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
100%. So good for you. And then we also had an update from Dana. Dana wrote in a few weeks ago about her best friends ignoring the fact that her pets died and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And it being on the internet. So she said, I want to clarify that the emotional labor comment I tagged on the end of the email came from a deep place and was brought to light over this whole situation, like Crystal said. Throughout these friendships, it has been a lot of compromise and weight on my end and not much the other way as our relationships have matured and grown. But I realized that it was separate from the rest and kind of confusing. And I didn't tell these two about Buddy because my mom asked me to keep it private and off social media until after we buried him. With Gracie, it was so sudden there was no time to tell anyone until she was gone. All in all, after listening to this week's episode, I texted my one friend with the kids about how I was feeling, and we are planning to have lunch next time I'm in town to talk about everything. She was very apologetic and told me that she's thought about reaching out before but didn't know how, and that she's been tied up with everything. Thank you for all your help, Dana.
Well,
that warmed my heart.
Yeah.
I love that. See, people be wrapped up in their own lives. They be busy in their own heads and thinking that other people have an issue when it's really just everybody's dealing with their own shit.
I mean, there's really not much time to sit down and reflect on every corner of your existence. And I mean, that's not an excuse for people to make you feel, you know, isolated or ignored, neglected or whatnot. But sometimes you just got to remember that everybody has shit.
Yes, true.
And if you're not saying anything, you're not helping anybody.
Okay. That is very real. So, yeah, reach out to people. Okay. So, our first letter this week comes from Gary. And okay. Gary says, I found myself in a dumbass predicament and I've screwed myself out of being able to talk to my therapist about it so I could use your advice. That's right. Last year, the relationship I was in started to take a turn for the worse and began affecting my mental health. Since I wasn't able to pay for a traditional therapist, I started going to a free queer men's support group. It's been a big help, especially after my ex and I eventually ended up breaking up last summer. One of the reasons we broke up was because he was suffering from depression and there was no intimacy the entire last year we were together. Since then, I've focused on healing and getting to a place where I can enjoy intimacy. But because of my low self-esteem, body image issues, and a fear of catching something from random hookups, I haven't had a lot of success with sex and I don't have a lot of experience, period. Lord, the two times I tried was a mess. And then he goes into some detail about them that I don't think is necessarily... Oh, no, it definitely is. Okay, so the two times I tried were a mess. A few months ago, I messed around with an old fuck buddy, but it was whack, partly because he's kind of an asshole. Lazy and non-reciprocal in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A month later, I made myself have a random encounter while on vacation, but it turned into unplanned, unprotected sex. I was so freaked out about STI exposure that I broke out in full body hives for a week. I ended up testing negative for everything, but that didn't help my fears about random hookups. Okay.
Okay, girl.
He says, and this is where I feel like I fucked up. As part of my work, I've also been trying to make friends and be social, so I've started hanging out with some guys from my support group. A couple weekends ago, I was out with them, including one in particular, Juan, who I've been extremely attracted to from the jump. It was our first chance to hang out outside the group, and as the night went on, he started flirting with me. From our therapy sessions, I know he's a flirt and a bit of a hoe with no judgment, so I don't think much of it. But he was persistent, and I was into it, so by the end of the night, we hooked up. And it was better than the two experiences I've had these last 6 months, and better than anything in pretty much my entire past relationship, to be honest. I have zero feelings for this guy outside of a friendship, but on top of the sex being so good, he's really sweet and made me feel really attractive and wanted, which is something I haven't felt in a long time. I know y'all don't agree, but in my mind, sex between mature, consenting friends has always made sense to me because there's no awkwardness, no fear of rejection, and built-in familiarity and trust that puts me at less risk for catching something. I think you might be a little misled there.
Yeah.
Well, forget all that, because a few days later, he called me apologizing, saying that he tested positive for gonorrhea in the throat. Well, there it is. Didn't know he had it when we hooked up, and now I likely had it too. I was initially pretty scared and disappointed in myself, but I ended up handling it better than expected. So I immediately went and got treatment, and now I'm all clear. I'm grateful, and I realize that I'm lucky that it wasn't something more serious. And now I know my theory of having sex with friends means safety doesn't hold water.
What is the problem, girl?
Okay, this is long. So, okay, basically he's scared to date because of his insecurities, his whole past, the fact that he feels like he's had issues with body image and feeling mm-hmm. attractive and all this. But he also knows that this friends with benefits relationship with this man that he met in his gay support group mm-hmm. is a recipe for disaster. So the group therapy comes back from a holiday break next week. And he said, normally I would bring it up to them, but there's a rule against members hooking up because of situations like this.
Got it.
Yes. So what should I do? I feel like starting something regular and casual with this guy is a bad idea, right? Please help. Forgot the name I gave him.
Gary?
Gary.
Why don't you just not? Like, is he confused? Is he concerned with, like, when this group comes back together that it's going to be awkward or something?
Well, it has the potential to be awkward just because of where they've taken their relationship. But also, he's struggling with this because he feels like he's such a late bloomer, like didn't get started with dating or having sex until his mid-20s, has body image issues, has issues with
it's not
feeling.
That deep.
You don't think so? I mean, that's what he was writing about.
No, I mean, I understand why he feels that way and where he's coming from. I'm just saying it's not as deep as you're making it. I think that you need to give yourself a break. Mm. Like, even when he said that he went on vacation or whatever and made himself hook up, like, it's almost like you're treating sexual relations as like an obligation or something that needs to happen in a certain way mm-hmm. or a certain style. And it's just not that fucking deep. Like, you can just chill, make peace with yourself and security of self. Mm-hmm. I don't think that anybody is really 100% insecure. I mean, 100% secure in every part of themselves.
Definitely not.
But you can definitely do the work there. And then just kind of let the universe do the rest of it. I don't think that you need to be sitting here stressing out about, and I also just feel like because niggas be fucking.
That's true.
That like you may kind of feel FOMO, maybe.
Yeah, I think that is it. Like, you feel like you're missing out because you're not dating and hooking up like everybody else around you seems to be. And so that, along with your body image issues and all this other stuff, has you feeling like maybe this boy you need to kind of hold on to because you don't know if something else is going to come along. When, like, that scarcity fear is a lot worse in your head than it is in real life.
Right.
A lot worse in your head than in real life.
Right.
In real life, people like all different kind of people. All different shapes, sizes, colors, heights, everything.
Yeah.
So.
And like prejudice or whatnot is definitely, it exists in the gay community and whatnot, but there are also still communities for like all kinds of shapes, all kinds of I don't know if I should call it behavior or whatever, style,
right.
position, whatever you want to call it. Like, you can find like a tribe outside of just this group that you have tainted with your sexual desire. I'm kidding. You know, but I just think that you need to give yourself a break and just chill and not sort of make decisions on what you need to do or what's right for you based on what you think everybody else is doing or what you witness everyone else doing. You're human beings, so you're going to have sexual urges and desires and things like that. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to like, if it's going to have you wrapped up in anxiety endlessly or worried about this and that and all of that shit, then you might want to just chill, like I said, and get cool with you and then let the right person just come to you.
Yes. But I mean, so yes, I agree with everything you said. I just, I don't know. I guess I feel for him because I don't have that exact same story, but like I have a lot of friends who felt like they really didn't blossom or like have sex and dating lives, you know, the way everybody else seemed to in high school in your early 20s and all that. So it's like, I feel for you because I know you feel like, damn, you know, like I barely get chose as it is. I don't want to let this one nigga go. But if for no other reason, it's because therapy is only going to be a more and more awkward environment for you, I believe, as this goes on. Because right. Neither one of y'all are in a place, I think, to make this a thing that would be a good idea. So yeah. I think if for no other reason, in order to preserve your therapy space, you should not do this. And yeah. Trust that this is not the last person who will be attracted to you.
It's just not.
It's just not.
It's not. Give, like I said, chill and give
yep.
give yourself a little break.
You're very young.
Be into, yeah. Right. Like,
it's more and more young people in the inbox putting all this stress on themselves, like 21 and I feel like my life is a flop. Like,
and honey, the gays be fucking at like 70. So
you have a long way to go. All the time
that God has promised you. You know,
you have a long way to go.
It's just so many niggas are running around and the sexual energy is so yeah. high in the community and stuff like that. And these niggas are, you know, posting their pecs and abs and ass and all stuff like that on the Instagram.
Yeah, you feel intimidated.
And so you feel like, you know, I want a insecure. Little slice of that. But I think after a while, when you chill and make peace with yourself, you'll just be rolling your eyes at half of the shit that used to make you feel small or whatever.
Yeah, that's real. Good luck to you. And yeah, this is not a good idea. Don't get yeah,
no.
just to be super
yeah,
clear.
Let's make sure that the therapy so is clear. A safe environment first.
First and foremost. Yeah. All right, next question comes from Carmen, who says, I'm a 24-year-old Black femme trying to take care of my mental health. I've had increasingly severe mental health issues since high school, and they peaked in college. In the years since, I've been on and off medication. In the times that I was off meds, I filled the space with alcohol first and then weed. I'm finally on medication again after over a year of managing my own mental health without it. In that time, I started smoking a lot of weed. Obviously, I need to scale back my smoking to accommodate my medication. However, my psychiatrist was really unspecific about how my marijuana habits should change now that I'm on meds. I think she was trying to discourage me from smoking at all rather than educate me on a happy medium. Mm. My question is, how do you two balance your recreational marijuana use with any mental health meds you take? Or do you forego meds and rely on weed and therapy? I found a great therapist, but I won't start seeing her until the end of the month. And I do want to stay on this medication because it has worked really well for me in the past. Any and all advice appreciated. Thanks, Carmen.
Well, I don't really think that I can just give you an idea of what I do as a way to help or guide you, because everybody's like, I could be depressed, you can be depressed, and we can have similar symptoms of our depression and stuff like that and still be given different types of medication, different mm-hmm. dosages of maybe the same medication and things like that. So I don't know what meds you're taking. And I can't really say, well, oh, I do this. And so maybe that's what you should do because I'm not your doctor. But what I will say
right.
is that I do take my meds every day and I get as high as I want. And my psychiatrist actually, when I spoke to her about my weed habits and things, she didn't discourage me from taking or getting high, smoking mm-hmm. weed or vaping or whatever. But we did talk about balance, and we did talk about like how to manage my weed intake
yeah.
and responsibilities and emotion in, you know, a healthy way that will mm-hmm. help me progress or whatever. And so that's something that's always at the forefront of my mind, yeah. you know, because when I first started smoking weed close to 8 years ago now, damn near, really, New York is what did it.
Oh, man. Listen, because I smoked weed like twice a year before I moved here. So it is absolutely a New York
thing. I played around with it a little bit in college, but I was just like, I'm not going to be like the rest of y'all bases. I'm just like, I was like,
I didn't like it. And I know now that I was smoking Reggie, so no wonder I was not
down.
A fan.
Thank you.
No wonder I was not a fan.
19 year old, like,
okay.
I don't even see what's so great about this. It's not even Wallet.
Like, I'm a little sleepy.
Right. It was like,
that was it. Like, girl, I don't
smoking
care.
The most basic right. ass weed the that a 19 year old child yes. could afford.
That's
mine.
Right.
But I feel like I was a much better functioning weed head the first few years as my depression started to kick
damn,
up.
Damn, that's real.
As my depression started to like kick up a bit, and after my grandmother passed and all these other emotional stuff, I think I would start to just get high and basically phase out and be like a vegetable and sort of put things off or push things back or move things around so I could just sit there and be numb. And I brought it up eventually to my doctor, like, should I not smoke? Should I not do this or that or whatever? And she was real with me. And this isn't like the fucking, this isn't like a therapist on you. You don't watch this. That show has a knack for like, because it's about a nigga who literally stalks and kills people or whatever the fuck. But it has a way of making a lot of the characters, almost all the characters that surround him, terrible people, are very, very annoying people. Mm-hmm. So like when he murders them, it's like, oh, you know, so the therapist that he sees in the first season, played by John Stamos. That's
Uncle Jesse.
Jesse, yes.
Yeah.
He literally like lights a joint in their first session and starts smoking it in front of them. And I'm like, what fucking therapist just gets high with their patient? And where can I find them? No, I'm kidding. But
yeah, no, I never want to get high with her.
My therapist was like, you know, basically she recognized my workload and my different ways of coping and stuff. And she was like, you don't necessarily need to just stop smoking. You need to change your habits when you do it. Da, 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 da. We went through a long list of how to manage my marijuana medication and the rest of my life. And so much like all of the other things I learned in therapy, then turns into homework, mm-hmm. study, practice, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff to where, you know, I feel comfortable in A, my ability to get high, and B, my ability to be productive.
Right.
But again, I can't say, girl, just do what you want. And I also don't know that I can say if your doctor is telling you not to get high that you should change doctors, because again, I don't know you. So
right. No, we're only talking about our experiences. We're right. not medical professionals of any sort.
So I don't know that I can say any of this is something that yeah. you should try out, but
I can only tell you, you know, how my relationship with weed has affected me. Like
right.
I'm definitely open with my therapist about it. But she has never made it like a judgment thing. She almost yeah. never even asked me about it. Like I told her from the very beginning, I use weed to get through the day. Mm-hmm. Like I literally use it to get things done. I am more productive once I get high. Mm-hmm. I'm able to focus and get shit done.
I've said that too.
And so because I've always used it, well, not always, but because I mean, sometimes I get high just for the hell of it. Yeah. But because I use it for that, I've never really felt like it was too much because it was helping me be more productive instead of less. Yeah. But as time has gone on, and now that I've been on my med for a really long time and I really like it, and like I've made all these different strides in therapy and stuff, weed started to become like a thing that slowed me down instead of making yeah. me more alert. Yeah. And so once I got to that place, I was like, oh, I actually don't want to get high first thing in the morning. What the fuck is this? You know, so it was like, you also have to listen to yourself and your body. Like when you get high, are you floating in fucking outer space? Are you like passing out on the floor and not doing shit all damn day? Like yeah. you have to look at how weed is affecting your life too.
Yeah, but totally.
Yeah. Hopefully your doctor is not judgmental about weed. I feel like most of them are not.
Yeah, I don't think your doctor should be judgmental about anything unless you're saying that you're committing crimes.
Well, right. So,
I mean, I guess you could.
Right, like, right. I don't know what you mean. But yeah. All I can say is talk to your doctor and work out what's best for you and makes you feel good and makes you feel like you're doing the things you want to accomplish. Right.
Like I'm saying, I believe that it's possible for you to stay on your medication and also ingest weed and be fine and balanced.
Yep.
It's just about finding that balance and being honest with yourself, like you were just saying, about whether or not it slows you down, whether or not it keeps you from doing things. Because
be real with yourself about it.
You have to be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's really easy not to be for a lot of people. But,
it is, but.
You know, I was the same way in terms of sometimes I would be high and things would just click into place for me, or I would want to go and do something productive. And there are other times where I'm just like, I don't really want to do anything but sit here and eat hot chips and watch Steven Universe.
That's my day.
So, yeah, I think that you can definitely, at least to the doctor, say, you know, I don't plan on stopping getting high at any point soon. So what can we do for all of this to work?
Right. And I can't say that every med is safe to use with weed, but I don't think I've ever heard of one where it's like you should not use marijuana or else some terrible side effect will happen to you.
I feel like your doctor should tell you.
Oh, they definitely will.
What the list of side effects and concerns.
And if they don't,
the
pharmacist will.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Best of luck to you. Our last question comes from Nunu, who says, I'm going to get straight to the point. 2 years ago, my dad followed me on Twitter.
I don't know why. This is already funny. First of all, a Nunu sounds like they would say, I'm going to get straight to the point first. But I didn't expect that to follow.
It's her very first words. Before he followed me, he told me that he made a Twitter and I instantly blocked him. But I could tell that hurt his feelings, so I unblocked him.
I bet it would.
I figured it couldn't be that bad because me and my dad have a great relationship and I'm going to post what I want because I'm grown. Mm-hmm. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
The first year was fine and I barely even noticed him on my timeline. Then I started getting nosy and started snooping. Not to go snitch to my mom or anything, just being nosy. At first, I just found basic things like him following sports pages and local news Twitter accounts, so I didn't think anything of it and stopped looking, but then I checked his favorites and it's nothing but porn.
Okay.
I was disgusted and I stopped going on his page for months.
Okay.
Now, I know my dad watches porn, but still seeing it instantly turned my stomach, especially because we follow each other, so he knows I could potentially see it.
Oh, well.
I stopped looking on his page altogether, but recently he replied to some woman and it popped up on my timeline. The woman was asking who wanted to fuck with her before she settles down, and he said that he wanted to. See, we were getting there. I bet you he don't know that Twitter shows you random.
I bet he doesn't know
conversation.
He probably thought it was a DM.
Okay, just for context, my parents are married and just celebrated their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I thought so.
But there has been infidelity in the past from both sides, but mostly my dad. I don't know what to do. I was going to just block him again and not say anything, but he DMs me memes and tweets all the time, so he'll definitely notice. Mm. I don't want to ruin our relationship because I try to keep my parents' problems and my relationship with them separate, but at the same time, this is really bothering me and making it hard to stay out of it. Any suggestions will help. Love you guys. Sincerely, Nunu.
I think if your daddy want to look at Twitter porn, that's his prerogative. I wouldn't look at my family's, especially my parents' Twitter feeds at all.
Right. Literally never. Ever. And I actually am going to go ahead and block you.
You know what I mean?
Right now.
I wouldn't block. Did I ever follow my mom on something?
My mom is not going to be replying to my tweets and embarrassing me.
I think I maybe followed my mom on Facebook and then unfollowed her. And she never even posted anything that made me uncomfortable or anything. I was just like, I'm on here cussing and joking about dicks or whatever. And like that, we don't need that.
Right. I don't follow you for your
And I
protection.
Think it did bother her. It hurt her feelings. And then I felt like wet garbage. Didn't follow her back though. But
Oh God.
I don't know. I think that if anything, if I didn't stay out of it, at best, I probably would go to my dad and be like, so you know that I saw your tweet to Misty Bubbles.
Whatever the fuck. Misty Bubbles.
It sounds like a chatterbait chick. That's or something like that. I don't really know.
Misty Bubbles.
It was the first thing that came to my fucking mind.
All right, Miss Misty.
But yeah, I would probably say to him, like, so you know, I saw that. Not a fan. Don't care for it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might want to rethink this Twitter thing. I don't really know. Because
I would also very, very much not want to get involved in my parents' relationship. And since you are already involved enough to know that both of them have cheated before, mm-hmm. I would just mind my business. Yeah. Like, this seemed like something your daddy has been doing for a while.
And plus people, I'm not saying it's right, but people leave comments like that on their IG, Twitter, thirsts.
Oh, they do.
All the time, knowing good and damn well they're not ever going to meet or have sex with that person. You know, unless you both have an OnlyFans page, because then it's business. But
right.
At that point.
But as a wife, I'm going to look at that like, oh, nigga, are you out your fucking mind?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
You talking to bitches like that?
I'm just saying what nigga excuse you're probably going to hear first. I'm just saying, because it's not false. It's not right, but it's not incorrect either.
She all the way in New Orleans.
Right.
Like,
so,
okay. And so I can talk like that to random niggas?
Of course not.
What
I'm
happened?
Just letting you know. I'm trying to cross off all things on the list I see before you get started.
Because it will happen.
Because it totally will. But yeah, I would want to stay out of this altogether. And like mm-hmm. I said, if I did say anything, I'd go to my daddy and be like, I can see this.
Right. Just so you know, so that I don't have to be so fucking grossed out, I can see when you're nasty on Twitter.
And
so
maybe
like,
so mama does not cut you.
You might want to chill.
Never shines. Maybe you should chill.
Think twice. But if not that, I would absolutely stay out of that. Mm-mm. I don't want no parts of that shit.
See, this is why you were blocked.
Yeah, this is why you blocked him the moment you found out he had a Twitter. This is why you did it, sis.
You could just send an email with a screenshot of it and then caption it. This is why I blocked you.
See how going with your gut reaction would have saved you from this entire scenario in the first place.
Not to mention, I don't know if I want to know what kind of porn their daddy watched.
Absolutely the fuck not. I don't want to no part of that, the imagery there is welcome. So like, girl, yeah, get the fuck out of this.
I would just, yeah, definitely stay on my own timeline and try and keep things far apart. But I just can't imagine. I can, but if you can't imagine not acknowledging it.
Oh yeah, y'all do have a good relationship. I keep forgetting.
I mean, I would have to. Like, if your daddy follow you and has a nerve to be liking and favoriting porn or whatever the fuck, I would imagine y'all have a chill rapport. So, get started.
That's true. You could probably say something to him and be like, you are actually doing the fucking most.
Right.
Right there where everybody can see it. Like, this isn't... Can you not?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. End the conversation.
Maybe you can find a YouTube tutorial on how to use Twitter and send it to him so he knows. I don't know, girl.
Good luck with whatever you decide to do. That wraps up the questions this week. Send yours to asktheread@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
So listen, this year, make it a year where you can explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with Skillshare's online classes. What you find might just surprise and or inspire you. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. I find this kind of thing to be dope, especially for people like myself who may have been like, mm-hmm. I'm really passionate about this thing, but I'm kind of scared to do this, or I don't know how to start, and I don't know if I go back to school, and whatever. Mm-hmm. The classes are designed for real life, so you can move your creative journey forward without putting life on hold. You can learn with short classes that fit your busy routine, and it's affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month.
Ooh, amen. And so I actually just signed up for the photography course because I'm one of those people who was like, oh, I'm gonna get into photography, I'm gonna really learn it. I got me a decent camera and all that, and I picked it up once in my life.
Yeah,
like
same.
One time, because I picked it up and I was like, oh, I really don't know what I'm doing. So seeing that they had a photography course, I was like, girl, this is what I'm finna do right here.
Right.
So I can finally get started on something that is one of my resolutions for the year, which is to get more into hobbies and start doing more things for the fun of it and just because to keep my mind occupied. So I'm super excited to get started. You can explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/TheRead and get 2 free months of premium membership. That is 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. So get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/TheRead. That's SKILLSHARE.com/TheRead. Let them know we sent you. Let's move on.
This episode is also being brought to you by Talkspace, a sustainable way to make a lasting change. Talkspace is a convenient and affordable way to get the support of a licensed therapist. You can be matched with one of over 5,000 therapists based on your preferences from the privacy of your own devices at home or on the go. Then start messaging your therapist the very same day via text, audio, picture, or even video. It's like a personal trainer for your life. And you never need to go to an office or schedule appointments or anything like that. Hell, you could talk to your therapist on the way to work because you just don't want to go.
Listen.
Whatever it is you do.
You could wake up and text her in the morning like, sis, taking myself to work right now is all I have inside me.
Hey, girl, it's Kim again. Still don't want this job.
Hey, girl, just walking to the train station thinking about turning around and going back. You can do that. And your Talkspace therapist is there to help. Y'all know how much I love Talkspace. I will forever sing their praises. You can start 2020 off strong with Talkspace. It is the support you need to help achieve your goals at a much more affordable price than traditional therapy. And you can get $100 off your first month when you use code READ to sign up. That's right. Match with your perfect therapist today at Talkspace.com or download the Talkspace app. And don't forget to use code READ for $100 off your first month. Again, Talkspace.com, promo code READ. What better start to a new year than like taking care of your mental health? Amen. Amen. Let's wrap up the show.
Okay, so it's time for the read. You want to go?
Well, I don't really have a lot to say. I'm going to speak really quickly on Jillian Michaels.
Knew it.
I'm so glad you do. So if you don't know, Jillian Michaels is one of those women who used to yell at fat people on that show. Like literally all they did was berate fat people and make them undertake ridiculous diets that absolutely did not work. And almost all of them regained the weight back and then some because they were doing something utterly unhealthy and completely unsustainable.
I've never watched that show.
So, I mean, it was so bad. Like, and me who usually can tolerate any type of reality TV, I was like, I literally cannot look at this. Like, you're literally just yelling at people, berating them. Like, they throw up and you make them get back on the treadmill type shit. Like, it was sadistic, if you ask me. And I've looked at this bitch sideways ever since. Because she looked like she got a lot of joy out of that shit.
I bet.
That was the thing about her. But anyway, I try not to think about Jillian Michaels. However, Jillian Michaels insisted on speaking on Lizzo and her body and what she thinks her health is based off the way Lizzo looks. So I don't even know which interview started it. I saw her in a clip from AM to DM, which is BuzzFeed's Twitter show.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. That's where I saw her. And she was talking about how, you know, she loves her music and her daughter loves her music, which, side note, this is definitely the I have a black friend moment right here, because she has this adopted black daughter who I pray for on a daily basis now that I know she exists. So she
daughter. I didn't know she had it. She just said my kid loves her.
Oh, my kid. Well, so. I knew she was citing her black friend. So this woman was on AM to DM talking about Lizzo and how, you know, she loves the music, but it's not going to be cute if she develops diabetes. And, you know, I've never once looked at her and been like, yay, I'm so glad that you're overweight. And so obviously there was a ton of backlash from this. She continued to run her mouth, though.
Oh, yeah, she did post something else.
She did continue. That's right. So she posted on Instagram and said, as I've stated repeatedly, we are all beautiful, worthy, and equally deserving. Feel strongly that we love ourselves enough to acknowledge that there are serious health consequences that come with obesity, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, to name only a few. Jesus. I would never wish these for anyone, and I would hope we prioritize our health because we love ourselves and our bodies.
She's so full of shit.
So full of shit. Like, first of all, bitch, that is not what you said.
It's not.
And even if it was what you said, it's still fucked up because there is no way that you can look at a person, look at their body, and know what their health is. You cannot look at them and know anything about them other than the size of their bodies. Period.
That's true.
You don't know how people eat. You don't know whether people move their bodies. You don't know what diseases or disorders or syndromes or whatever people may have. So you cannot look at Lizzo and say that she has heart disease or high blood pressure or any other disease that y'all love to pretend only fat people
or get. Or could get.
Like, furthermore, there are countless thin people who have heart attacks and every fucking thing else all the goddamn time, every day. And Jillian should know that because her co-host on that fucking show, Bob, who was this trainer who worked out constantly, had a huge heart attack like just a few years ago. Okay. The picture of, you know, supposed health, still had a heart attack. You know why? Because heart disease happens to all kinds of people. So to put all this shit on Lizzo, to project all of your hatred about fat people and make it about her health when you don't know anything about her health is just such bullshit.
I was planning on coming in here with a couple of barbs for her, just in case you didn't. Because you full of shit from the get-go.
Yes.
Because what she said was, it was so, like, conflicting. Because on one hand, she was like, I don't understand why we should care about her body. And then is like, it's not going to be great if she gets diabetes. Which one is it then, girl? Because like, if you don't care, then you wouldn't even be mentioning the possibility of her getting diabetes or whatever the fuck. Right. You could have left it at, why should I care about what she looks like or whatever? Her music's great. I don't.
Just because a person is fat does not mean they are in poor health. And even if they are fat and in poor health, it doesn't mean they deserve to be treated like this.
My angle on this and what really annoys me, like in general, I hate when intolerant people try to use fake concern for humanity or for the younger generation or whatever as a thin veil for their intolerance. Stop trying to act like you just want the best for people like Lizzo and like it's so wrong for someone to be celebrated or to celebrate themselves in their fatness because that's somehow going to affect, you know, other people and the way that they choose to diet or not diet or whatever, as if there aren't countless examples of skinny people or fit people, quote unquote, all over the place anyway. So it's like, girl, what are you even talking about? You can literally just mind your fucking business.
You
don't care about Lizzo. You don't care about nobody the fuck else. And I, on one end, I understand, like, she's a trainer and whatever, so
this is her business. Dieting is her business.
There's intent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There are ways that you can be a part of strength, trying to spread awareness for all kinds of things. For you to individually point someone out, like you were just saying, and bring up diabetes, when, like, you don't
heart
even...
Heart disease and cancer. Bitch, what? Do thin people not get cancer?
Just say that I really don't know how to process this fat bitch being center stage.
I don't understand how she loves herself. Therefore, I have to say something's wrong with her.
It makes me uncomfortable seeing her being so fat and happy.
Yeah.
And it does not compute and I don't know how to deal with it. Say that instead of being like, oh, because the rate of obesity and da, 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 da. What the fuck do you care? Do you know how many people put their health at risk in millions of ways,
countless of
ways.
Yes.
Every fucking
That's
day.
Right. That's right.
Let's talk about cigarettes alone.
Shall we?
Like, niggas smoke cigarettes every fucking day, 30 goddamn packs a day, and are generally left alone for it.
Alcohol, you know what I mean? Is sold on every block.
I walk down the street and there's a person smoking a cigarette in front of me. I do a quick punch right past the ass.
Right.
I don't give you a glare or an evil look when I walk by you. I'm not saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. You know, lung cancer is real. Da, da, da. Because that's your life. It's your prerogative.
Right.
And I'm assuming if I'm looking at an adult that you understand the consequences or the risks of putting cigarette smoke
in
your fucking
life.
Body. We're not going to talk about sexual health or anything the fuck else. I'm not walking around knocking cigarettes and dicks out your mouth. So I don't feel like you should. Like, who has the right to knock
exactly.
You know, a Popeye sandwich out of somebody else's or whatever the fuck when you could just mind your own goddamn business.
It's always right there. It's always available. Jillian Michaels is the kind of person who feels like because she decided to dedicate her life to being thin so she could be happy, everybody else needs to do the same thing. So how dare this fat woman just love herself without pursuing weight loss? How dare she not want to look like the rest of us? Girl. Girl.
Like, girl, it's like
the entirety of you, sis.
The end of that very, 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 I'm sure it's the first season of Golden Girls where they was talking about, they was trying to decide how to lose weight for something that they were going to do. And at the end, Dorothy is like, she mentions like a friend of hers who had been dieting or whatever, and then something fell on her head and killed her, like a statue killed her in a freak accident.
Yeah.
And they're always like, you know what? We sitting here starving ourselves, and we could all just get hit by a bus tomorrow. And they cracked right. out every inch of food. So, but past that, it's like, it feels like a lot of people like Jillian Michaels and other fat phobic people are treating folks who are part of the quote unquote body positivity movement as if they're trying to say, hey girls, being fat is the shit. You should be fat too. And I've always processed it at least as people saying, this is my body and I should not be made to feel like I don't deserve love or respect.
Yes.
I don't deserve to feel sexy.
Yes.
I don't deserve to be on the cover of a magazine or a billboard because my body doesn't look like blank.
Right.
That's what it is. Lizzo could decide that she want to lose weight next year, next week, never, 5 years from mm-hmm. now, tomorrow. And you know what I mean? It right. doesn't mean that her being on the stage of the VMAs or being on the cover of a magazine looking like this is like any different or was not real right. or whatever the fuck. It's like, girl, this is the way that I look and I shouldn't be made to feel like I'm disgusting or right. I can't have the same exactly. levels of respect as yes. everybody the fuck else. Y'all bitches do that same shit with countless other things. Yes. I just think that because people are so used to being degrading or demeaning to fat people, mm-hmm. it's just widely accepted when yep. people say this kind of shit. Your president does
because
the same shit with brown people.
Everybody is fucking dieting. Everybody is on it. So it's like, of course people are like, even if they like, oh, I would never say that. Like, I would never be such a bitch. Like, Jillian, girl, you just decided to be such a fucking bitch out of nowhere. There are a lot of people who write shitty stuff on Lizzo's comments or tweet her terrible things about how she should be dieting or whatever the fuck else. When in reality, all you have to do is treat fat people with the same respect you treat everybody else and there would be zero problems.
The only person's business in terms of what's going on with their heart or arteries or whatever is that person and their doctor.
Period.
That's it. So I just don't understand why we're so quick to jump down the throats of a big girl or guy on a magazine or at an award show or whatever the fuck. Like, who gives you that right? I'm just,
right.
But like I said, what annoys me the most about it is when instead of you just being like, I don't like that fat shit or whatever, and I don't think you should be celebrated for being fat. It grosses me out. I don't like it. I don't like your love right. handles or whatever. I don't like it.
All this health shit you can go to hell with.
I hate this. Oh, the rate of heart. It reminds me of like the president, this administration, you know what I'm saying? Trying to use their racism as a way. They do the same thing with society. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, all these brown people are bringing in crime yep. and taking jobs and da 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 and all this
all
other shit.
Lies.
And try to make you believe that your health, your safety, the mm-hmm. safety and health of your kids and so on will be better off if right. brown skin wasn't coming into this country, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I just say you hate people.
Yep. You could just say it. Just say you hate fat people. I mean, we already know it first.
Yeah.
It is your whole fucking brand. So we know it.
Yeah.
But like, you could just say that and try, instead of trying to pretend that it was about her health.
Talk about why should I care about her body? But oh, the bitch could get diabetes. Girl, what? Shut up.
No. If Jillian Michaels cared about health, then she would be talking about how exercise is good for you, regardless of whether it makes you any smaller or not. Exercise has about 1 trillion health benefits that don't have nothing to do with losing
at
weight.
At all.
And you would think a trainer would be the first person to say that.
Right.
But no, she dedicated to being a bitch, so fuck you.
Well, I'm glad we got that off.
Yeah, I'm done.
I don't really have much. Okay, so I will start with... Where do I... Okay, I'll just start with Tyler Perry. Look, y'all know we've talked about this before. Tyler Perry writing pretty much all of his stuff. He should not. Well, about a week ago, maybe?
I forgot about this.
Tyler Perry posted a video on Twitter of, like, I want to say no less than 10 huge stacks of scripts. And in the video, I mean, we got the haves and haves nots, this new show, The Oval, that he's doing, Sisters, House of Pain, Bruh, which isn't out yet, and some other stuff I haven't heard of. And he's basically talking about, you know, almost, he says almost every TV show has a writer's room of like 12 people or something like that. But I do all of my writing myself. And these are all the scripts. I wrote all of this stuff last year alone. And why am I saying all of this to you? Work ethic. Nigga.
What? I could not.
Let me say this.
Okay.
That is definitely a work ethic.
It is.
And
it is.
Speaking of someone who's writing a script, this is mind-blowing to me. The fact that you wrote all of this shit by your damn last year alone is like, would be incredible. But then I think about the quality of a lot of your things.
There you go.
And it reminds me of how a lot of it feels rushed. A lot of it feels like something that was written in 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it does you any favors. I mean, maybe he does. He got this gigantic, sprawling studio space. Right. You know what I'm saying? And giving
ultra fucking rich
homes to single mothers and gay youth, LGBTQ youth, and all of that stuff. But I just couldn't understand, for someone who, like I've said a million times, I do respect how he employs Black entertainers.
Me too. Yeah.
There are so many talented Black writers that deserve, not only need, but deserve a leg in the door. And I would think that Tyler Perry, if no one else, probably understands, has to understand how much of an uphill battle that is in regular spaces. Mm-hmm. You being a huge, huge Black film and TV creator, it's like, I don't understand. My only thought, maybe he's just very, very, very anal about how his stories are told or whatever, but it's like, you can still consult.
You can still have executive producer privilege over the entire script. Like, you can
say yes, no, don't like, edit, blah, blah, blah. So
it's your shit.
Don't understand how, A, you have no writer's room, and B, you are bragging about not having a writer's room when you make nothing but Black content.
Right.
Why should all of these, we're talking about shows about family, shows about Black women.
That one still
shows about the White House now. All kinds of different shows from different perspectives.
Oh, I have to actually watch the one about the White House because it is going to be so crazy. Girl, is Madea president?
She might as well be. Like, why not? Why did you just...
Like, but it's like, I was like, Tyler, you're not supposed to be in on the joke. Like, do you understand? Like, that is the entire problem.
You should have.
That is the whole Black problem.
Writers.
You should.
I mean, nigga.
If anybody should have writers' rooms, it should be you.
You, I mean, nigga. First,
for every
okay,
show.
You have been doing this
for a
very long time.
You have.
Okay? Your labor has borne nothing but fruit all over the fucking place. I feel like if anything, now would be a great time for you to start building, mentoring, if you want to call it that, up and coming aspiring writers and giving them an avenue to express their creativity.
Yes.
If you had a couple of writers, maybe we would understand how the fuck Taraji came up out of the goddamn ocean driving sandpaper without X-Men powers. We're so confused.
We'll never
maybe know. Someone would have written something in there that made some goddamn sense. Like, girl.
We just will never know, Tyler. And that's your fault. You need to bring other people in the room. Having somebody else look at your script is like the number one rule of writing anything. Nobody writes and edits everything themselves, publishes and whatever the fuck else puts on the goddamn screen without somebody else looking at
it. That nigga really bragged about writing all this stuff like it's all good.
Like, you made a show called Sisters and not one Black woman wrote it or worked on it. Like, Sisters?
And I'm next, Bruh.
I can't wait to see what Bruh comes to our televisions with. Because, see, Tyler, the problem is you have about five different formulas at this point. And all you do on every project is just switch up the nouns, the names, the adjectives. Like, after a certain point, you've seen one Madea movie, you've seen them all. Like, it is exactly that. So I just don't have a lot of faith in my ability to really enjoy these shows, because I feel like I can predict Tyler Perry shit when I see it. But also that a lot of them have a really good premise, and if you had a great writer's room, which you could easily afford, then they could be so much better.
Thank you.
It's like, these aren't even bad ideas, but if you had real people who have been writing all their lives and who have different experiences and different backgrounds in the room, these things would be much more tolerable.
The nigga said in the clip, every TV show has a writer's room. Why do you think every TV show has one? Why do you think that? Why?
And niggas was congratulating him. Like, goals.
I saw a lot of people judging him reasonably. You know what I mean? And not even just like making jokes, but really taking it seriously. Like, nigga, why are you? You're really bragging to us about the fact that you don't have black writers helping you because of work ethic. You think the niggas don't know you work?
That's not work ethic. That's just, at a certain point, it's like, are you insecure about your wealth? Because you have secured it. The wealth is secured, Tyler. That big ass studio you got.
There's nothing anybody could say at this point.
You're doing just fine, Tyler. You have the budget. I promise you. I promise.
I don't
you
think
have got the budget.
A part of me almost feels like he's afraid that he's going to give a spot to a writer that's better than him and create like the next Tyler Perry, but someone who actually writes good stuff.
What?
But I can't think of any other reason that you wouldn't have anybody else.
Because, I mean, I just, no shade, who would want to steal the Madea formula? Like, who?
That's not what I'm saying. I feel like, you know, because he's doing lots of things sans Madea now. You know what I mean? And trying to, he's attempting to tell all kinds of stories.
Yeah, these dramatic, like, but they're not, they're just, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just feel like he's, I can't think of any other reason why.
I mean, maybe
he would
that
not.
Is it. Maybe it's insecurity, but whatever it is really getting in the way of the quality of your show. And I want your stuff to be so much better than it is, because you do so much for Black Hollywood.
And you hire really talented people to perform
in every
in these
area
things.
Except the writer's room.
Taraji, God bless her, put them contacts on. She didn't ask you no fucking questions. She just put the contacts on. You put a lace front in front on every goddamn thirst trap I've ever seen in my life. We're tired.
Like, Tyler, we came back after the cornrow lace front. We came back after
niggas
that.
Came back.
We came
you put
back,
an afro
Tyler.
On Boris Kojo's bald headed ass. They came back. Now you got Makai Brooks and his fucking lace front Gumby I saw in some other trailer. Like, I'm just nigga. Ask for not just or at the very least, welcome.
Please.
Some writers. Even if it's one
or two
show. Like fuck.
Please. Just
damn, if you take any one of these things that you've just put in this clip, any one of these programs, has and have nots, any one of them, and just put a writer's room on one of them.
One.
I am willing to bet any amount of money that the show will be received far better. You don't even have to go to the ends of the earth and find, you know, every black writer that has done things, you know, for the hugest shows. You could just get some, probably some young folk out of Spelman, Morehouse, wherever the fuck, FAMU, whatever school.
I mean, the thing is, you're Tyler Perry. You could literally do this however you wanted to. I don't understand why you're so opposed. And I don't have to understand, but for you to get on Instagram and shoot a video bragging about the number one thing people critique you for is just too fucking much.
Mind
for me.
Blown.
When I tell you somebody sent me the screenshot and I had to physically restrain myself from logging onto the internet to talk about it, I had to literally put my phone in a drawer and go do something else. That is how bad I wanted to get on Twitter and be like, at Tyler Perry, are you goddamn serious right now?
Nigga, he posted this shit like it was a script for The Wire and like, fucking like.
Oh my God. Tyler. Jesus God. Okay.
I'm always going to wait for the day that it makes sense to me. But
it just doesn't have to be this way.
I don't think it's ever coming.
He has so much and he could just, it could change.
The nigga was excited.
He
work
was.
Ethic, all caps. Come on. Let's go get 2020. Who? You don't have a writing team.
What is the work ethic in you recycling the same stories over and over in minor tweaks?
If I gotta see one more broken black woman dark skinned nigga. One more woman drawn to the end of sanity because of a nigga. I'm like, okay.
You actually need to stop writing women altogether. You got lots of issues surrounding women, and that's something that, you know, you ought to leave to a woman. I'm super finished. Best of luck.
I don't got nothing else for TP. Past that, this isn't a read, it's more of a question. For those of you who have watched, You, aka Daniel Humphrey and Lost His Damn Mind. That's what I lovingly call it.
Okay.
How many of y'all, and be honest, genuinely did not see that ending coming? Because it's like, they were basically just rubbing it in your face all of second season. Honestly, I predicted how the end of the second season would happen before I finished the first one, just because I had seen like a clip of the trailer for the second season, so I knew that it takes place in Los Angeles. And I said to myself, the only way for this to not be repetitive is for blank to happen. And like episode one of the second season, I'm like, yep, I already see it happening. And it just gets more and more obvious to me as it goes by. But the first season had a way of, to me anyway, it had a way of sort of treating things like it was going to be a twist or a reveal. And then when they finally reveal it, they did it in a way that was like, we knew that you knew this. And they do it in like, they kind of would reveal it in like a fun way, or maybe veer left just a tiny bit. So it wasn't just like you predicted it and now you're bored. Gotcha. Whereas the second season was literally like, 9 episodes of telling you exactly what the fuck is about to happen. And then they treat the last episode like, oh, is this not shocking? No, it wasn't. So, okay. That show is also very strange. I think that it...
you know I don't watch it, so I'm very lost right now.
It's entertaining. The second season pissed me off for more than just that, but I don't know what the intention is. I think it might be a taste problematic, as entertaining as it is. But then again, it's fiction. You gotta be grown. So yeah, I thought the second season of that show was incredibly predictable and a taste weird, and hopefully the next one's better if I even watch it. And then last but not least, this Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie. I don't know why it's not a Gotham City Siren movie. I know you don't know anything I'm talking about.
No, but I like the sound of the words.
Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, is getting a new film without the Suicide Squad, which is where Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn made her debut. This movie is called Birds of Prey, and the something, the fantabulous and emancipation of Mimi. No, emancipation of Harley Quinn.
And, okay.
But it's clearly being marketed as a Harley Quinn movie, but the Birds of Prey are also in it, and they team up together. Birds of Prey is like, at least in this, Journey Smollett Bell is playing Black Canary. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is Huntress. And I don't remember who else is in this. But originally, I heard that Warner Brothers in DC were making a Gotham City Sirens movie. That would have been Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Catwoman. You have to at least know who those three people are, correct?
I do.
Right. So that to me says, you know what probably would have been more marketable, especially since we're trying to erase that Batman shit we did and do it all over? See the Gotham City Sirens movie. Because people,
gotcha,
even folks who've never read the comics or only watched a taste of the cartoons or something, or saw that one, I think it was Schumacher's Batman movie with Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy and Arnold Schwarzenegger was Mr. Freeze. People would have recognized those characters more, and I think it would have probably been easier to transition that into the other stuff that they're trying to do. Because I know Zoe Kravitz, I believe, was cast as Catwoman for this new Batman movie. Mary Elizabeth Winstead probably would have been a great Poison Ivy. I always imagined Rihanna playing Poison Ivy because of that one savage, yeah, Fenty photo that she posted where she was wearing like a lime green lingerie set, and I think it had like them gloves that come past your elbow, and I think she was like surrounded in roses, and she had red hair even too, I think. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is Poison Ivy. I didn't realize
Poison
that
Ivy
needed.
Is sexy, right?
So, oh yeah,
like that's Rihanna, yeah, right there.
And also has a sort of sexual history with Harley Quinn, which is why I had mentioned how, remember last Halloween when Cardi was Poison Ivy and Nikki was Harley Quinn? Did I say that right? Yes. Cardi was Poison Ivy for Halloween.
Okay.
And Nicki was Harley Quinn. And I was like, this is so hilarious because they can't stand each other. But in the comics and whatever else, they're friends and have even messed around together before. But yeah, I just feel like the marketing for this is ridiculous. I don't think that Warner Brothers knows what they're doing with this DC shit. But I'm probably going to go look at it anyway. And yeah, I just felt like I needed to point that out. I don't expect it to be great, but I'm going, I guess. That's it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I did not understand those words, but glad that you
somebody will
feel that way. Yes.
This is above us.
All right. Well, that wraps up this week's episode of The Read. Check us out on social media at This Is The Read. Our website is thisistheread.com. Do we have any news this week?
You can probably still get tickets for our 7th anniversary show coming up next month at the Apollo here in New York City. I believe thereadlive.com is where you can get tickets.
I think so.
I believe they're also on Ticketmaster. But the information for that is on our Instagram page.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I think that's it. Okay. Well, stay black and protect your magic.
Yeah. All of you out there, be good to one another. Be shady within reason. And... you know, do something nice for yourself until we come back and talk about whatever other fuck shit and how awful and orange the president still is.
Right.
And probably talk about, you know, Lori Harvey's impending pregnancy.
Oh, no. We're going to pray against.
Oh, it's going to happen.
When we need that to.
No, it's going to happen.
We need that to.
I feel like that's the first thing that Vadius goes for. Or no. I'm going to start calling him Damon.
I mean, you should.
Yeah.
All right. This is a much better name.
D.E. Mun.
If it's...
I love black. I just love black. I
never not love black people. We are truly everything. Damon. That's right. If it's, it works.
It works.
It does.
All right, guys. Goodbye.